We have talked a lot about the COVID pandemic on this show, for obvious reasons, but let's shift to another medical challenge that may not be getting enough attention these days. For the second year in a row, 100,000 Americans died of diabetes. The coronavirus has created new complications for 37 million diabetics in this country, but it's not the only factor contributing to what experts are calling a crisis. So what's going on? Let's talk to Dr. William Herman. He is a diabetes researcher and professor of medicine at the University of Michigan. And he also chairs a new National Clinical Care Commission, which just released a report calling for a new approach to diabetes. Dr. Herman, welcome.
Good afternoon.
So let's start with the number, 100,000 people. What does that number mean to you, and what does it tell you?
Well, it to me indicates that there is a crisis in the United States. We know that only about 1 of 10 people who die with diabetes have diabetes recorded on their death certificate. So wow. To me, it means that probably 1 million people with diabetes are dying each year in the United States. This is a tremendous increase in the number of people who are dying with diabetes. And it's probably not surprising in light of what we know of COVID. We know that about 1/3 of people who are hospitalized with COVID and almost 40% of people who die with COVID have diabetes. And so I think the dramatic increases in the numbers of deaths associated with diabetes is in fact related to COVID.
There have been people who delayed care with everything going on in the medical system. From your vantage point, how did that play out?
Well, you know, there's been a reluctance to have contact with the healthcare system, and there's a recognition that the healthcare system is overtaxed. But people with diabetes who don't receive regular preventive care can develop a lot of the complications related to diabetes. So progressive diabetic eye disease, which can lead to blindness, uncontrolled high blood pressure, and poorly controlled diabetes, which can lead to a kidney failure. And lack of preventive foot care can lead to ulcers and amputations. People with diabetes and symptoms of heart disease as well may be reluctant to come to the emergency room because they're afraid of COVID and may neglect to come in with an acute heart attack. But there are things that can be done at the federal government level to facilitate that type of care, like coverage for virtual visits or telephone visits, and improved coverage for diabetes self-management education. So we're hoping that the federal government will make these temporary COVID-related changes permanent so that people with diabetes have greater access to different forms of health care.
You were quoted recently as saying we aren't going to cure the problem of diabetes in the U.S. with medical interventions. Your report mentions providing maternal work leave, more affordable housing, transportation, and the environment. Can you talk a little bit about those factors and how those are central to this?
Recent research really indicates that a lot of these social factors like food, housing, the built and ambient environments, even maternal breastfeeding, are all risk factors for diabetes and diabetes outcomes. In the mid-1990s, the Department of Housing and Urban Development did a study called Moving to Opportunity, where they took almost 5,000 low-income families with children living in disadvantaged urban neighborhoods and randomized them to receive vouchers for private market housing in less distressed non-poverty neighborhoods, or continued on living in Section 8 housing. And what they found was that rates of diabetes were lower for these low-income families that were moved to less distressed neighborhoods. And so it's clear that housing, educational opportunity, employment opportunities, all affect the risk of diabetes in the long term.
Dr. Herman, on the food front, many of us have heard that promoting healthier food is really important here. But what are your panel's recommendations on food and food policy?
Yeah, food policy is really critical to the health of the nation. And the commission actually makes a number of recommendations to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We think that the FDA can do a better job with food labeling to get rid of some of the misleading labels. Sugar-sweetened beverages can be labeled as a good source of vitamin C. Candy can be labeled as a low-fat or non-fat food. And there's a lot of confusion about whole grains and what that means if a food is labeled as being whole grain, how much whole grain, how much refined grain. And so we'd like to see FDA take a more active role. And finally, the Federal Trade Commission, we think, should begin to address some of the advertising to children under the age of 13 to really restrict the types of marketing that are done to children who really don't have the discriminative power to understand that they are being marketed to.
And there are, of course, financial economic issues as well. We know about drug pricing. It's not news that many people can't afford their medications. We've spoken in our program of patients who ration their insulin or skip doses. What has to happen on that end?
Well, so insulin is a life-saving medication for people with type 1 diabetes. If people with type 1 diabetes cannot get insulin, they will die. And we know as well that financial barriers are important in terms of non-adherence to treatment. So we need to ensure as a country that everyone with diabetes who needs insulin has access to it.
How do policymakers start tackling that? Government price limits? So what's on your list?
The price of insulin has just increased astronomically over the last 25 years or so. A vial of insulin has gone from $40 to over $300. And it's really not clear why that has happened. There's a lot of finger pointing. There are a lot of different parties involved in the manufacture, distribution, sale of insulin. But the bottom line is that it's become unaffordable. Insulin is manufactured by only three companies in the United States, so there is a limited competition. And it is important to get more competition in the market, and price controls may be a possibility. There are other things, though, that can be done through insurance, and I'm really glad to see that the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services has launched a pilot program to cap the cost of insulin to Medicare beneficiaries with Part D insurance to $35 per insulin per month. And that makes the cost of insulin to these folks much more predictable and consistent. The other thing would be to make life-saving medications like insulin free or paid for before deductibles, even for people with insurance, to make them more affordable. Mm-hmm.
And finally, can I ask you about this report? Your commission came out with a report. As you know, sometimes these reports come out and they sit on a shelf. Your panel recommends an Office of National Diabetes Policy and several specific recommendations. Do you have any sense that policymakers are going to pick them up?
We hope they will. And in general, these congressionally mandated commissions are taken seriously. The results are carefully reviewed. And again, we feel that the opportunities for what are considered non-health-related federal agencies to work productively with what have traditionally been considered health-related federal agencies is enormous. And we think it's by this collaborative work that we'll finally be able to address diabetes. We've failed to adequately address it simply as a medical condition, and I think we really need to address it both as a medical condition but also as a societal condition.
Dr. William Herman is chairman of the National Clinical Care Commission, and he's professor of internal medicine and epidemiology at the University of Michigan. Dr. Herman, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.